Well, I want to thank you for letting us be here this week. It's been wonderful. There's nothing like Jesus. There's nothing like him. Hey, man, I'm just a fan, just like Brother Brown said, amen, and he said, I love Jesus, I love the book, and there's nothing like it. And I just want to thank God for what he's done in my life and allowing me to serve him. It's just wonderful to be saved, and I get excited about thinking about being saved, and I think about it about every single day, many times a day. Just love him, and thank God he came and got me. I thank God for the family. God set up the solitary in families. And he came and got me. Came and got me 15 years ago. Just a 31-year-old drunk, drug addict, sitting at home on a Tuesday night. Two teenage boys came to my house and knocked on my door, praise God. And he had a gospel track. And one of them, daddy was the preacher. Little Jake Weedo, 16 years old. And he said, my dad's a preacher and we'd like for you to come to church. And I told him I'd try. And I was lying. But a week before that, before they knocked on my door, a lady at the furniture store, her husband showed up to my work where I worked at the furniture store during the day. And he said, Burton, I want to talk to you outside. And I'd had a lot of words with his wife, and he wasn't in very good shape, and I was in pretty good shape. And I thought, well, he's got the wrong guy, but I'll go outside with him. And as I was walking outside with him, I thought what I was going to do to him, because I was just a hoodlum. And I thought, man, this guy's not going to last 5 seconds with me. And we get outside, and he reaches in his truck. And I thought, oh, no. Because in Arkansas, you reach in that truck, there's probably a 12-gauge in it or something like that. And he pulls out a King James Bible. And he said, Burton, me and my wife have been praying for you. And we want to give you this Bible, and I want you to read what's in the front. In the front of it, there was a letter on salvation. Now, I'd never been to church in my life. I'd went twice. My dad was in the Army for 27 years, and we went to church twice on an Army base, and I don't remember what happened or what was said. I don't remember any of that. I'd never been in church, and when they knocked on my door, I thought, man, this is something, because I was 31 without God. I'd never, you know, when you're 31 and you don't have God, there's a lot missing there. You don't know what's missing. I was not searching for God, looking for God. I've heard all the stories, and that's great. That's not what I was doing. I was looking for money. I was looking for something to get high with. I was looking for women. I was looking for fame. I was looking for all that stuff that the world offers, and wasn't getting anything out of any of it. And they came to my house, and they came back to my house every week for 4 weeks in a row. And the last time they came, I forgot it was Tuesday, and I opened up the door. And there they were. And I said, and it was Brother Bob Weedo, or Brother Jake's uncle, one of the assistants in the church. And he said, Burton, why don't you just come one time? And I said, I'm going to come. I'm going to stop playing with you guys, and I'm going to come. And the gospel tract that they had given me was sitting on my table with a 24-ounce can of beer on it. And I was protecting my table with that gospel track. I'd never read it. Didn't think about it. It was one of those, just what you'd put up here the other night, brother, for the military, was the exact gospel track I got with that big, that eagle. I still have that gospel track. It has a ring in the middle of it from the beers I was sitting on it for a couple of weeks before I went to church. And man, I went to church that next Sunday, did my thing all night like I always did, partied and bartended and I got up that Sunday morning and went to church. There was a man sleeping on my couch, and he said, Burton, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to church. And I went to church and drove in that parking lot of that church, Bible Baptist Church, El Dorado, Arkansas. Yeah. And that preacher got up, and he said, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 23. And it just so happened, I'd never opened up a Bible in my life. I'd never heard one verse, never heard John 3:16. I don't know anything about the Bible. And when I opened it up, the little tassel deals were right on Psalm 23. And I decided it wasn't hard to find it. And I thought, that's amazing. And he preached about the shepherd and the sheep. And he said, the sheep that got far away from the shepherd got ate by the wolves. But the sheep that stayed close to the shepherd, they'd be safe. And that day he told us to bow our heads. And I raised my hand that day. He said, if you don't know for sure that you know the Lord, raise your hand. And I raised my hand, and he says, I see that hand, young man. And he gave us a chance. I'd never heard of an altar call. I'd never seen anybody go forward anywhere in my life. And they started going forward, and I said, man, that's what I want to do. And I went down there, and he said, Burton, what'd you come for? I said, man, I want what you're talking about. I want to get saved. And I got born again, praise God. Woo, hey, I got changed. I can't hardly understand a person that they got saved and don't come to church and ain't getting changed. I got changed. And he did something for me and he began to work in my life and I began to do drugs less and began to drink less and began to cuss less. And about 8 months into it, man, God helped me and I went to teen camp in Comfort, Texas, the Pot of Gold. Went down there as a counselor, amen. They said, I want you to be a counselor. Went down to teen camp and Cecil Ballard preached the whole week. And he opened that Bible up and it began to change my life. And I began to want what he had talked about. And I thought, man, I wish I could go to Bible college. And I didn't know God couldn't use anybody like me, could use someone like me. And I look at that Trinity Baptist Bible College setup that they had at the camp. And I thought, man, I wish I could do something like that. And I wish I could do with that preacher. That preacher's funny, and it's really neat what he's saying out of that book. I remember all the messages he preached. And the Thursday night of the meeting, the Wednesday night, the night before we left on Friday morning, the Wednesday night, man, I remember my preacher used to say, if you vow a vow, it's better to vow a vow than to vow a vow and not keep it. And I was so hungry for what God had, and I wanted to quit. I got high the night before I got on the bus to go to camp. I just couldn't quit. Got on that bus, and I thought, man, I don't fit in with these people. These are really good people. What am I doing on this bus? It was 12 hours. I thought, man, I can't believe I even got on this bus. And that week began to change my life. Man, I became a counselor, became a football coach. Man, went crazy with those kids. Was counselor of the week that week. And man, God blew in on me. And I went down that last night, or the second last night, and I went to the altar and I said, God, I vow never to touch another drink, never to touch another drug, never to touch another woman till I marry her, never to go into another bar, and I never steal again. I said I'd never lie again, but that one didn't work. But the rest of them worked. God took every bit of that from me. I don't struggle with drugs and alcohol, never did after that day. I struggled for 20 years, started getting high when I was 11. Started going to jail when I was 13. I was a mess, man, and God came and got me. Amen. Robbie, that's what God did for me. Starts out staring out the outside, and you see mercy, and God came and got me. He came and changed my life. I've never been the same. I thank God for my wife and my kids, and I can't believe I get to serve the Lord, but he came. Hey, that's why I get up and shout a little bit, and I held back for you folks this week. Hey, I calmed down for you. Hey, I saw I wanted to rip these pews out of the floor and throw them to the ceiling. Because that's what he did for me. He came and got me. He let me sit at the table. He didn't care about who I was or what I'd done. He said, I forgive you if you'll come and turn to me. I'll take you like you are. Just an old stray dog. And God came and got me and changed my life. I thank God for that. Went to Bible college, met my wife the very first day. Got married 10 months later, and her mama said it was okay. Her daddy said it was okay. Her preacher said it was okay. My preacher said it was okay. Her youth pastor said it was okay. The Bible college president said it was okay. The Bible college vice president said it was okay. I asked all of them. She's a little bit older than me. We wanted to make sure it was okay. And we got married, and I thank the Lord for my wife. Amen. See, young people, I got saved at 31. My wife got saved at 10. She was born in church. Her mom and daddy raised her to be a servant of the Lord. It's the best testimony in the world. Amen. I thank God little Millibug got saved last night. Amen. My boy, my girl, KK and Dale, they're saved. Hey, they'll never taste a drop of alcohol, never go into a bar. They'll never have to cuss. They'll never have to have that life and have the, I can't get out of it. I ain't gotten high in 15 years. I still dream that I get high and wreck my life. Regularly dream that. And I wake up and go, man, thank God. Thank God it was a dream. Sometimes I wake up and I can't even tell my wife my dreams because they're so wicked, nasty. And that's what sin does to you. It never leaves. I wish it would, but it doesn't leave. But the penalty left. hey, get to sit at the table. Thank God for that. Me and my wife got surrendered to God, and God called me to Philadelphia, and we started Liberty Baptist Church in 2009. And we went to the Badlands of Philadelphia, and I'm telling you, I can't wait to get back. I'm glad to be here with you folks, and it's been great, and it's been refreshing, and the best thing is I got to bring my family. Because when I'm here without my family, I pretend to have a good time. I want to go home. But I tell you this, we started that church and God blew in and did something. And let me tell you something. The last Sunday in 1966, a man named Marvin Weedo walked into the Wesatch Avenue Baptist Church. I'd like to see her spell that. The Wesatch Avenue Baptist Church in San Antonio, Texas. He was a 31-year-old highway patrolman, drunk. Lutheran, walked in there, and a man named Claude Bonham took the Bible and preached the Word of God, and Marvin Weedo and his wife both got saved that day. There was two little boys and a little girl, a man named Bob, a man named J.D., a little boy named J.D., a little boy named Bob, a little girl named Debbie. J.D. Weedo was 5 years old when his daddy got saved, went home, poured out all the alcohol, was teacher Sunday school a month later. When J.D. was 16 years old, he wrote a blank check to God. He got saved, and he wrote a blank check to God several years later and said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And God called him to go from Texas to Arkansas, to El Dorado. And he went around and he raised missions money to start a Baptist church in El Dorado, Arkansas. And he started that Baptist church about 27 years ago. About 10 years after he got to Arkansas, his boy knocked on my door. His little boy Jake knocked on my door. And I got saved. And we raised money to go to Philadelphia and still take a lot of missions money for the work that we're doing. And we've won a lot of people to Christ, and God's done all the work. And now our church gave, last year they gave $54,000 a year to missions last year. And now we're starting another church a mile and a half away. Mile and a half away, 40,000 people are going to reach another group of people. What are you going to do, Brother Burton? Who's going to pastor it? Well, I am. No one else is coming. So we'll just pastor both of them until God sends a man to take the other one. And so God's doing that. We appreciate your prayers. Go on our website, watch a video, whatever you want to do. I just want to preach to you tonight. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. Let's all stand just in honor of the reading of the Word. Revelation chapter number 3. I'm going to keep you here a long time. That's better than saying we're going to be here a short time and you keep going like this. No, we're not going to be here long, but I want to do this. Missions is the greatest thing a church can do for God. It's the absolute greatest thing they can do. Folks where I live at are... It's the bottom of the barrel, second worst neighborhood in the city of Philadelphia. Looks like they poured garbage out along the streets where I live. Puerto Rican neighborhood, 85% Puerto Rican. Some black folks, Puerto Ricans, we got whites, we got everything in our church. They didn't have nothing when they got saved. 85% of our church has been saved in that church. If this was the crowd, there'd be about 10 of you that didn't get saved in our church. When we began to teach them about missions, about 7.5 years ago. And we just decided we was going to teach them right out the gate because God wanted them to know about what his plan was for the world and the church to reach the world. That first year, they gave $235 a week to missions. Last year, they gave $1,435 a week to missions. This year, they're on pace to give over $1,500 a week to missions. Let me tell you something. That's the plan of God for the local New Testament church. It's a called out assembly that's come together to fulfill the Great Commission. That's what we're here for. But I'm not going to preach on that tonight. I'm going to preach right at the heart. Just what the brother preached on tonight. The heart. And I feel like this is the message. I wish I had a sugar stick for you. I just try to be sensitive to what God wants me to do. And I want to help you tonight because I know God's going to help us. Let's pray. Let's pray, and then I'll let you be seated. We'll read the scripture. Let's read the scripture, then we'll pray. So you know what you're doing and have no idea. Verse number 14, chapter number 3, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him, and he with me." Father, we love you. Please bless your message in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. If anybody drank out of this, Lord, please bless it. Help me not to get sick. Come to the table. I'm going to preach this message to you tonight. Are you too full or too blind to see the table? Are you too full or too blind to see the table? You know, my kids like to eat goodies, and if we let them eat too many goodies, they won't come to the table and eat. They get full on stuff, and they're not wanting what mama has or what daddy has. And I'm afraid our churches, that's where we're at tonight. We've gotten full on everything else, and we've got no need for what God has at his table. Hey, I'm glad we come to the table and get saved, but we've got to get back to the table to eat. There's some people that can't see the table. They don't see it in front of them. They think the man sitting in the second row has lost his mind and don't understand why he'd be so happy and excited about a table. They can't see it. The Laodicean church is a church in the Bible. I do understand people preach on the church ages and the different ages and the different dispensations. And I'm for those, and I understand those. But this is a church in the Bible that God had told John to write about. And there were many churches. The church of Philadelphia, the greatest church that he talked about there, was a small church, but it did a whole lot for the Lord. The church at Ephesus had lost their first love and began to fall off. And the Laodicean church had a problem. Their problem was themselves. And tonight I just want to talk to you a little bit about that. I'd like to go through the scriptures with you and see something. But what we need tonight is we need a fresh glimpse of God. Or we need a hunger for God. And I'm afraid our churches have lost a lot of that. And God doesn't want that. Hey, listen to me. Jesus died for you. He gave his life for you. And the least we could do is give our lives to him. The least we could do is act like he did something for us. The least we could do is want what he has to serve us. The least we could do is be able to see what he wants to do. Our churches have died. They've gotten into religion. They've become stagnant and stale, and they're not seeing what God has, and they're not hungry for what God has. We need God to blow in tonight. Say, Brother Burton, we've gotten right with God. Well, God wouldn't have told me to preach it had we gotten right with God all the way. I'm just being honest with you. This is not my church. I will not treat you like you're my church. But I'm telling you this, I didn't bring this message to preach this week, and God laid this on my heart today as I prayed and asked God, what do you think, Lord? And I said, well, this is it. My wife said, what are you preaching tonight? I said, I'm not going to tell you tonight, honey. And she didn't understand that. And I said, I just don't want to tell you because I just don't want any influence on what God wanted me to do tonight. Not that she would try to influence me, but my wife, we talk about everything. I often say, well, honey, what do you think I should preach? Because I forget. I'm just not there. I've got 1,500 of them right here that I've preached in my 9 years of pastoring. And tonight I just said, it's got to be the Lord. And you look at the Laodicean church. What happens is amazing when John the Revelator gets God and he comes to him and he tells him about the churches. And tonight he's talking to us and he goes to the church and he says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. And I believe 100% that angel is the messenger and that is the pastor of the church. And John's talking to the pastor. The only person that will stand before God what this church ever did will be the pastors. You'll stand before God what you did individually in this church, but he'll stand before God what he did, what the church did. And the pronoun's very simple. It's very easily to look at. He says, unto the angel of the church, these things, he says, write it to the angel of the church. In verse number 15, I know thy works. That pronoun is thy, means one person or one church. Right. And so he's writing that and he's telling them what the Laodicean church was is they weren't hungry and they couldn't see. I have three ladies in my church. One's name is Lisa Cruz. Got saved about 9 years ago, 8.5 years ago. Drug addict, PCP smoker. Couldn't even speak a sentence. And a little 7-year-old boy walked into the church with his 10-year-old sister and his 4-year-old brother. And that little boy, sincere, gave his life to the Lord. Or we thought he gave his life to the Lord. And he just got reassurance just about a couple months ago. He walked in, he said, pray for my mama to come to church. Lisa Cruz walked in one night and got gloriously saved. Became a rock in our church, a pillar in our church. Just a wonderful lady that hungers for God. Not perfect, but hungers for God. A lady named Monique Smith came to our church. She got a letter or a track on the door and called us and came and visited about 6 years ago. And she's been there ever since. Said, my husband won't come. I said, go home and do what 1 Peter chapter number 3 says every day for a month. Listen to him, do what he tells you to do. Be a good witness to him and just serve your husband for a month and we'll see if he'll come. And he did. And you ladies, that's a good thing for you to do. I got a laugh from my wife, got nothing from the rest of y'all, but that's okay. It's the B-I-B-L-E, amen. She did that, and old Hayward Richardson, 6'5", 320 pounds, showed up one night and got saved. Now one of the greatest men in our church, Sunday school guy, bus man, everything. Monique got saved, and a lady named Tania Allen came in about 3 years ago, bartender, and got saved. Now she's a Sunday school teacher, wonderful lady. Well, a couple years ago, I don't know if you heard about it, there was a revival going on in Burlington, North Carolina. Man, it was getting on down there every week. They just kept on going another week, under the tent. Thousands of people getting saved and revival broke out. And Lisa and them called me and started telling me, Pastor, you think we could go down there on this Friday? I said, well, I think you go down there. Lisa, I'll be in Michigan preaching a revival. I can't go with you, but yeah, y'all go down there. So those three ladies set out to North Carolina to go to a service on a Friday night. And they called me or texted me after that Friday night and they said, Pastor, it was unbelievable. They had a cop that was out there watching for the service, sitting in his car, protecting everything. That got out of his car, walked down, got saved. And they seen an amazing work of God. And about 10:30 at night, they texted me and said, pray for us, we're on our way back. And I'm like, what? I text them, ladies, get a hotel, man. Get a hotel, come back tomorrow. And they made this statement. Pastor, if we don't come back, we won't be able to visit our bus route tomorrow. Now, even I couldn't understand that well because I thought, I got a whole church to visit my bus routes. I could get a hotel and not go back home. Those ladies drove through the night, 8 hours, got home, didn't go to sleep, visited their bus route to about 2 in the afternoon, went home and collapsed. You know what those ladies are doing? They're seeking for God. Yes, sir. I know we're all here on a Friday night. Man, God, why would you have me preach this to the Friday night crowd? These are the people that like church. But we can only, that would be me just judging that there's numbers in here and just assuming that we're all spiritual. I need help all the time. God helps me with the preaching of the Word of God when I get it. The Laodicean church is struggling. Jesus comes to John. He says, look what he says to him. He says, these things saith the Amen. Hey, John, why don't you tell them that the Amen is talking? That this is straight from God Almighty. God wrote this book. God is preaching here tonight. And God is talking, and we need to listen to Him. He said, the faithful and true witness. That's only God. He's the only one that's faithful. He's the only true witness. And He's telling John, tell them that I'm speaking. Tell them that they need to listen to me. And then He says this, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus has always been. He'll always be. He'll never cease to exist. He's God Almighty. He said, John, make sure you tell them that God's speaking. Now, folks, when we come to church, this is the sanctuary of God. This is where God's going to meet with us. I don't know what you need tonight, but I know I need God. And John, you tell him that God is speaking. And I want to say this, when God starts giving this to them, God knows right where the Laodiceans are, and He uses illustrations to help them understand where they are by relating to who they are. And what I mean by that is when God comes to church and starts speaking on your heart, it's amazing how this many people can have the Holy Spirit of God speak to our hearts in an individual way where He thinks or we think that He's speaking to me. My mom and dad came to church after I got saved for a couple of years, and they said, son, we don't like it. Why, Mom? Because I think you're telling him about us. Son, are you telling the preacher about our life? No, Mom. Well, he's looking right at us. So, no, Mom, that's the way it works. Everybody thinks he's talking to them. And God begins to help this church that can't see, that's hurting. Hey, tonight I want to ask you, where are you at in your Christian life? Where are you at? You see, missions is important, but if you don't, it doesn't have your heart, he gets nothing. It'd be okay. I could get up here and preach 20 messages on faith, promise, missions, or missions the Bible way, and tell you all the rules and regulations the Bible lays out, but if your heart's not in it, it wouldn't matter what I tell you. There's a lot of discipling that goes on in churches. We tell them everything we need them to be, and we don't tell them anything of what happened and what they were. And we don't get them into a relationship and the love of God, and they miss, and they fall out, and they fizzle. And so John is being talked to by God, and he tells God, or tells John to tell him something. And here it goes. He says, verse 15, I know thy works. I know thy works. Now that scares me. Because Brother Burton Gates can put on a tie and he can shout. And he can look real cool, real spiritual. But God knows me. Hey, young people, He knows you. He knows us. And He lives inside of us. I'm talking to the saved tonight. I know thy works. And it says that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers say cold's unsaved, hot's saved. That is nowhere near what God was saying in this passage of Scripture. See, God was relating to these people at Laodicea. See, in Laodicea, there was a couple little towns around it. One was called Hierapolis, one was called Colossae. And Hierapolis was known for its hot water springs. I lived in Hot Springs, Arkansas. I went to Bible college. That's where I met Brother Jake, who was a fine college student and a great Christian man that I've known. They're from the beginning, always been on top of the Lord. I wanted to make sure everybody knows that. A great testimony for God. There was hot springs there, but Hierapolis had hot springs too. And outside Hierapolis was a place called Colossae. They were known for their cold water spring. And what happened is that they took these aqueducts from Hierapolis and they formed them and built them into the city of Laodicea. And they took these aqueducts from Colossae and they built them and brought them into Laodicea. And they were aqueducting cold water from Colossae and hot water from Hierapolis. But what was happening was this. By the time that hot water spring traveled the 5 miles, when it got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. By the time the cold water came in from Colossae, depending on the time of year, it would lose its coldness also. And God says to them, because He knows all about the Laodiceans, He knows all about what's going on in their life. And He said, hey, listen to me. I know your works. And I know you're neither hot nor cold. You know why? They were aqueducting their Christianity. They were taking their Christianity and they were saying, I'm going to do it this way. And I'm going to bring it right down the trail, right down the tunnel, right down the aqueduct the way I want it. And we're going to take the cold water and we're going to do this. Folks, what I'm telling you tonight, and we made a statement sitting here last night about real Christianity. We're getting ready to take the Lord's Supper at our church. You know what I will get up and preach and tell them not to do? I'll tell them a lot, but if you're not a tither, please don't insult God by taking the Lord's table. Because you're not right with God if you do that. So do you make them tithe? I sure tell them that they're not right with God if they don't. You say, well, Brother Burton, man, what's that all about? Well, I know where we're at. Now, I don't consider people in Missouri to be Southerners. Arkansas is a Southern state. Up here, you're a bunch of Yankees, but that's okay. But I tell you this, and I'm not saying this about your church. I'm telling you about Liberty Baptist Church. We're not going to aqueduct Christianity at Liberty. And if they all leave, it's going to be just fine because I'll have exactly what God wants me to have. And so we just tell them like it is. Hey, if you're gossiping, don't take the Lord's table. Hey, if you're not a soul winner, I wouldn't take the Lord's table. It's the great commission, the great command that Brother Patterson so well said last night. And what's happened to our churches is we've aqueducted the Christianity to meet what we think it should be. But what we need tonight is a local New Testament first century church in the 21st century. People that are holy. Because He is holy. People that say, I want what God wants and get under some old time Holy Ghost conviction and don't wipe it off and don't let it go and don't say it's okay. I'll keep doing my thing and think just because God's merciful that it's okay. Well, God's okay with it with me, Brother Burton. No, He ain't. No, He's not. He's just merciful. And the Bible says, hope thou in mercy. But I tell you this, where's the Christians that say, I don't want to be lukewarm anymore? I don't want it like I want it. I want it like God did it. Paul preaches the whole book of Corinthians to get them to the Lord's table. And he cleans the church up and he tells them like it is, just so they'll be right with God to take the Lord's Supper. In the church of Laodicea, man, they were just lukewarm. I know you guys, you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. Right. but you're not. Our prayer life becomes so mechanical. Lord, I pray that you bless my wife and help my kids and save them and save their husbands in the future and their wives in the future. Lord, I pray that you give us a great day. Oh, God, touch our finances, touch our cars, touch our dog, touch our house, touch my job. Lord, I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we walk out the door like we just talked to God and we didn't talk to anybody but ourselves. And we only did it for ourselves. You say, but Bern, how do you know that happens? Because that happens to me. We read our Bibles and we don't get nothing. And that's not what God ever intended for that Bible. Meditate upon them and be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And we become so mechanical in our Christianity that when we come to church, we couldn't be touched by God at church. We couldn't be touched in the car by God or in the house by God. And it's just aqueduct Christianity. We're doing it the way we thought it should be done. And tonight, maybe that's you. You've grown cold. Or for better understanding of the Bible, you've grown lukewarm. And it doesn't mean anything to you. Missions conference is just to get our money. I'm sorry you would ever think like that. Because it's just to get your heart. Because where your heart goes, there is where your money goes. The Bible says something about where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Hey, tonight, how's your Christianity? The Laodiceans were lukewarm. He says, so then because, and this is very sad that the God of glory would say, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And I don't want that. I don't want to be spewed out of his mouth. I want to be a sweet savor to the Lord. Yes. Now, folks, listen to me. I've not arrived. I am a mess. I'm the biggest mess in the place tonight, believe me. But every single day at this point in my life, and the days I've missed it, I'm sorry, Lord. But every single day I get up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't know why you'd even ask me. When people ask me to come, I told him today, I think, man, they must not be walking with God if they're asking me to come. I'm just being honest. God says, no burden. You keep getting back up and getting right. You might fall down a whole bunch, but you keep getting right. Hey, tonight, are you lukewarm? Because God could use a big movement of the Holy Ghost to God tonight. God would like that a whole bunch. He says, he'll spew you out of his mouth. Verse number 17, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods and have need of nothing. Well, there you go, Brother Burton. You ain't talking to us because we ain't got a lot of money. Oh, no, no. You're top 1% of the world.
That's right.
You're rich because you're saved.
Amen.
And you got goods. And maybe you're in here tonight and you have need of nothing. You didn't even come expecting anything.
Wow.
I'm just being honest with you. It happens. It happens in my church. It happens to me. And tonight God's looking at us and saying, look, because thou art increased with goods and you're rich, you have need of nothing. Maybe you just think, I'm good. I'm good just like I am. You know what that is? You're rich and you have need of nothing. I don't need to change. I got a job. I got a family. I got this. I got that. I don't need to change. I'm good. And that's called lukewarm Christianity. That's called aqueduct Christianity. That's called 21st century so-called Christianity. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I'm God and I change not. Nothing ever changed. We're to live it just like Paul told us to live the church under the Holy Spirit's inspiration. The man of God is to be the man of God. The people of God are to be the people of God. They are to be givers, cheerful givers, and of their lives, of their time, of their kids, of their wealth, of everything, but mainly of their hearts. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of the issues of life. Well, what's the heart, Brother Burton? It's the soul. Well, what's the soul? It's the mind, the will, and the emotions. See, our minds are so full of nastiness. So I don't watch nastiness, neither do I, but my mind gets full of nastiness often. Hey, folks, listen to me. Go home and tell God, why did he preach that? Because I'm just telling you tonight, I know we've got this here.
Yes, sir.
And it's been a great church, and I love this place and feel like there's some places I just wish we could be there a lot more. I'd love to come back and be friends and all that great stuff. It's awesome. But we've got a work to do. And he says, they're rich and they're increased and have need of nothing. And then he says, I knowest that thou art and knowest not. Now this is very important that you see this. That thou art wretched. Hey, is it a chance tonight that you walked into this place thinking that everything was fine, that you were spiritual, that you had it going on, that you were doing just okay, that everything was working just the way you thought it should, and you thought God was approving of it? Is there any chance that tonight you walked in here and you did not even know that you were wretched? They didn't even know it. You know what happens to me sometimes, Brother Jake? I go here preaching and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know it that I had a problem. And the Holy Spirit of God revealed it to me. And tonight, as we think about the Laodicean church, he said they did not even know that they were wretched, that they were miserable, that they were poor, and that they were blind. They couldn't even see. As a pastor, I hate when my folks get blind. And they ask me something, and they don't really want the answer, and I give it to them, and I say, you see what I'm talking about? And they'll say, yeah, I see right exactly what you're talking about, Pastor. And I said, do you understand? Oh, yeah, I understand. I'm fine. And I say, they're blind. They can't see.
Right.
And maybe tonight, maybe you can't even see the table. Maybe you don't have need of nothing because you're too full on the blessings of God, by the way, that he's given you, that you're missing the comeback to the table. A table furnished by God that we can all sit down and eat with our daddy and eat with him and thank him and get more from him. Hey, are you full on the things of this world? Are you blind because of the devil blind in the eyes of this world? And you have need of nothing. And you don't even know it. Hey, you know how we figure this out tonight? We ask the Holy Spirit, God, am I him? Is it me, Lord? Is it me? And you know what's unbelievable about the Holy Spirit of God? This is awesome. He'll tell you. I don't have to tell you. I know my people and I know the ones that are blind. And I often say this, Brother Dignan. I often say at the end of the service, if you think I was preaching to you, come see me after service and I'll tell you. You know who comes every time? The ones I wasn't preaching to. The servants. God, Pastor, I just want to know whatever I can do. I know you're talking to me. I said, no, I'm not talking to you. No, I think you're doing pretty good. Whatever God told you, you do it. But the ones that was needing it, you know what they did? They walked out the door. They said, I'm good. I have need of nothing. I don't even know that I'm miserable, wretched, blind. And he says, naked. I've got nothing. I can be. It's visible what's going on with me to my pastor. He can see it all. And tonight, I just want to ask you. You know, what is it? What is it that you hold on to? He says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich." I believe that's a direct implication to the Word of God. Hey, get something that's been tried. Get something that'll help you so you can be rich. So you won't be destitute. So you won't be disturbed. So you won't be miserable. So you won't be messed up. So you won't be blind. So you won't be down and out. And God says, get it from the Word of God.
And God wants us to get it.
He says, in white raiment. You know what the Laodiceans were known for? They were rich. They were rich. And you know what rich people wore back in these days? They wore wool coats that were black. If you were rich, you didn't wear a white sheep coat. You wore a black one. And you were of status. You thought, you know, I got a black one. That means they were rich. Only rich people wore the black sheep coats. And God says, buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich in white raiment. Wow. Nothing can make us white but the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah. My church is 85% Puerto Rican. I tell them, they came to me sometimes and they'll say, Pastor, my family thinks you're trying to make us white. I said, we are. Go tell them we are. White as snow. That's what Jesus does. Hey, listen to me. Spiritually speaking, are you wearing the garments that God wants you to wear? Spiritually speaking. He said, wear the white ones. Not the ones the rich people wear. And then he says, that thou mayest be clothed and the shame of thy nakedness, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Then he says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. The Laodiceans were also known for some medical schools. And they had this Phrygian powder that they'd mix with water and different things. This Phrygian powder, because out in Laodicea there was lots of sandstorms and different things that would happen. And eyes would get scratched up and messed up. And these Phrygian powders that were made at these schools, they would take them and they would put them on the eyes of these folks to help them to be able to see better and to fix their eyes. You see, I said earlier that God knew what they would understand. He spoke to them directly. And tonight, we don't have anybody here making Phrygian powder, but God is speaking to you directly if you let Him. And they could not see. He said, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see, because you're blind. And I've set a table for you. And come to the table. Come to the table. And we're out here going, I don't see the table. I don't understand the table. Why is he shouting like that? Why is the pastor acting like that? Why is they crying? Why are they at the altars? Because you've been blinded. Because you have need of nothing. You see, I'm just an old drug addict that got saved. I praise the Lord I got saved. I've been in Paris. I've been on the seas of Spain. And we've been all over the world. My mom and dad took me. And I played college football. And we did all that craziness. I bartended on beaches of Monterey, California, and the beaches of Connecticut. And I've been everywhere for all the world's pleasures. But I was blind. And God came and got me. Hey, listen to me. We get used to this thing called church. Now, the word church in the New Testament, 110 times, ecclesia, called out visible assembly of born-again baptized believers that have come together to fulfill the Great Commission. Church ain't potlucks on Sundays and baseball, softball teams on Saturdays. Church is a conglomeration of people that are seeking God's will in their life so they can make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But what our churches have turned into is a bunch of this. And a bunch of this. They're just full. I have need of nothing. I don't need anything. Hey, I'm just trying to help you tonight. But Bern, I don't like that you did this to us. I don't like that I did it either. I really tried to get out of it. He said, anoint thy eyes that thy may see. Now here's where it gets real good. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I tell my kids all the time, you know why daddy has to spank you sometimes? Because he loves you. I love you too much to let you go. My boy, I try to talk to him sometimes, and sometimes he gets a little ruffled. And I said, buddy, don't get ruffled. Daddy's going to talk to you and love you and teach you. Because I love you. Now listen to me. A lot of us have children in here. Now, I don't know how you run your children, but here's how our family runs. What daddy and mama says, that's it. Now, my kids are not terrified of mommy and daddy. And that's not what we've done to them. But they have to do what we tell them to do till they turn 18. And if they decide to leave, then I hope they live with us forever. I don't want mine to leave, ever. Now that's what I decide for my kids. And that's what you decide. Man, our kids got to do it. What about what God decided for his kids? He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Man, he loves us tonight. That's why he came to us to meet with us right now in this message. That's why Brother Crabtree got up here and it just seemed like, where did all that come from? But it was right what God wanted to do. We're blind, we're naked, we're wretched, we're miserable. Because we're not in the perfect will of God. Folks, J. Harold Smith said 75% of the church is lost. That's what he said. He said most of them just religious. But they're lost. Come to the table. Hey, tonight I just want to ask you, do you understand God loves you? That's why he died for you. That's why we ought to serve him. When your kids hurt you, didn't you? Well, some of you got kids that are going astray, probably older, and everything. Boy, didn't that hurt? Doesn't it still hurt? What about God? He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore. Be zealous. You know what that is? Run down here and repent. What's repent mean, Brother Burton? Change your mind. Change your direction. Say, God, I want you, and I'm sorry. And what happens next is very interesting. And this a lot of preachers want to use this as a salvation verse, but it's not a salvation verse. It's a good application, maybe. I don't use it for salvation because it's just not it's not how God wrote it. Behold, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Where's he knocking at? He's knocking at the church. Oh, so he's back there at the back door? No, he's right there at your heart's door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and this is what I like about it. I will sup with him at the table. I'll sup with him at the table. And he with me. I don't know if you understand what that he with me is, but that's unbelievable. God just don't sit at the table and ignore us. He says, no, you're with me. Talk to me. But most church people can't do it. Because they're blind. Because they're full and they have need of nothing. He died for us. I think we've had a little taste of revival in the church.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And really, God, I'm going to preach a celebratory message tonight. And man, it's already, we're good. God says, No, Burton. You know why I didn't tell my wife this? She's not God, and she wouldn't have understood me when I said I'm preaching Revelation 3.
she would have thought, that's an odd one. But is it? Is it an odd one? Or are there parts of our hearts that are lukewarm? And we've made Christianity what God wants to, doesn't want it to be. Folks, God wants us to be holy people. What's holy mean? Set apart for Him. And He says we're a peculiar people. That doesn't mean weird. My preachers have said that, and that's fine. That is a way, what some of the dictionaries say, but peculiar just means owned by one thing and one thing only. Are you peculiar? Or are you for rent? I'm just telling you, that's what he says we are, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, man, we'll leave thinking we're okay, and God's got work to do tonight. So it's late. I know. We just got out of revival. In my church, we didn't go home. We had the service at least 3.5 hours every night. And then I couldn't get them to leave. I tell people, hey, you lock up. I'm going home. I'm tired. Hey, maybe tonight we could just say, Lord, is he talking to me? If you're right with the Lord, or not right with the Lord, if you're honest before the Lord, you know he's talking to you. That could be the whole church. It could be the whole church. And sometimes this takes this to help us. I'm not saying it about this church, because I've been very impressed with the service of this church and the folks in this church and the attendance in this church, which doesn't make it a spiritual church, by the way. I had a man tell me how spiritual a church was because they ran 15,000 in Sunday school, and I think they had a good church, but just because they ran 15,000 in Sunday school doesn't make it a good church. Joel Osteen runs 40,000, and that ain't a church.
Yeah, amen.
And so tonight, my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn. I wrote in the bottom of my Bible, if he's going to turn us again, we'll have to see him. If we're going to make it to the table, we'll have to see the table. And aqueduct Christianity doesn't do anything for anybody. I'm not going to sit here and try to impress you with the church that I get to pastor, because I couldn't impress you. But they don't know that church lasts an hour anywhere. They don't know that our church has 100% attendance every service for the membership. They don't know that there's... And when they stay home, guess what happens? Ring, ring. Hey, you all right? You sick? No. Well, what were you doing? You said, well, I don't think you should do that. Better read your Bible. Apostle Paul was a man of God. He was the shepherd. No, there's no place in the Bible where the shepherd just let the sheep run off. And so our folks are not being strong-armed into Christianity. We just tied them to the Lord, and they've got a relationship, and now they can't make it unless they get to the table every week. And it's not anything I've done, because I don't know how to do anything, folks. If anybody can get credit, my wife should get credit, because she was raised in church. And I often say, what should I do, honey? And then I go to them and say, I prayed about it, and now I'm going to help everybody. And they go, what a pastor, a man of God. Robbie, you might as well come on up here one more time. Piano player, whoever you are. Hey, folks. I'm so glad. I'm so glad he came and got me, and he gave me an opportunity to serve him. And we may not be much in Philadelphia, and we don't claim to be much. And their pastor is the leader of not much. But I got to get to that table. And I start thinking,
All starts from the outside. Why wouldn't I want to serve him and have what God wants me to have? Hey, are you blind tonight and don't even know it? You said, but Bert, I was feeling pretty good. You got up. Well, you can thank me later. You said, well, man, church place to feel good? Yeah, sometimes. But about 85% of this book's corrective. And we need it. We need revival.
Yes, sir.
We need folks' hearts with God. And, you know, I want my kids to be in real church. That's what I'm glad to get. My kids love coming to churches and singing the youth choirs because that's what we do. And man, they're dying to sing tonight. And it just wasn't time for them to sing tonight. He said, let them sing tonight. Well, I don't think it's time. I think it's time to preach. I think it's time for God to move and do something. And so he's going to get up here and sing, and brother, you just come, and ma'am, you start praying on that thing, whatever you can do with it. And I want to say this, why don't you come to the table? If you're not saved in this room tonight, you've been playing God, and I'm asking you if you're saved right now, and right now your heart's saying, I'm not sure, like Amelia Caroline Loves did last night, and has been doing it for about a month. And she said she got saved when she was 4, but she was little. We believed her and we talked to her, but we don't ever go back on that stuff. She got saved last night. We're thrilled about it.
Amen.
If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you come to the table.
Amen.
We'll get someone to take a Bible and help you. But if you walk out the door, you're turning away God's Holy Spirit. And you're saying, I'm good, I'm full, and I'm blind, and I don't even know it. And tonight, why don't you come to the table? You can just start playing. I'm going to talk just for another minute or so. Hey. We all start from the outside looking in. But the majority of the people in this room ain't looking in no more. God says, come to the table. And maybe tonight you ain't got a fresh drink from God in a long time. Maybe your heart's not right with God. It's okay. Hey, it's okay. Mine's there all the time. I just get down and repent because he loves me and because he wants me and because he doesn't need me, but he wants me. Tonight, if you're not saved, you get down here, young people, old person, whoever you are. But why don't you think about who God is tonight and say, God, am I blind? Am I wretched? Am I miserable? And don't know it. Because that's what they were. And they didn't even know it. Because they were aqueducting their Christianity to meet their needs like they wanted it. And that's what modern day Christianity is doing. But that's not who Jesus is. That's not who this King James Bible teaches us to be. It's not what God wants. He wants us to come to the table. Father, bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.